Welcome back to what we used to call Chin Music. Now we're calling it What Else Can Go Wrong? No, this is actually the Chin Music Show at TalkNorth.com. We have three people who do this show. I'm Jim Suhan. Lavelle Neal is with me today. Roy Smalley, of course, has been the anchor for this show for a long time. We're giving Roy this week off. It's going to be just me and Lavelle kicking around the Twins and all of their problems. Good Lord, Lavelle. It's horrible. You know, so often when we talk about the Twins the last couple of years, it's like, okay, they need to tweak this one thing. You know, they need to position themselves to win in the postseason. This is not that. This is just a bad team, and everything has gone wrong, and I'm a little shocked by that.
I am stunned, too. I thought across the board they'd be better. In their recent game against the White Sox, 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position, I never would imagine a lineup that has, cultured hitters like Nelson Cruz and Josh Donaldson, would get in a situation where they would not have one single hit with runners in scoring position. The bullpen has been a playpen. I kind of feel for Rocco because I know he's trying to press the right buttons and trying to put the guys in positions where they can do well, but they're not getting the results. And then when they do pitch well, you have a game like on Thursday when the Twins don't hit. And it seems like whatever they're deficient at that day, that ends up biting them in the rear end. And it's that rinse, wash, repeat feel to all this that looks like they're headed down the drain.
Bad teams and teams that just happen to have a bad season, it feels like they spring so many leaks in the dike that you can't plug them all. And listen, a week or two ago, we might all say, oh, Rocco, you should be doing this with your bullpen. But when nobody pitches well in the bullpen, I don't know what the answer is.
I totally agree, man. Like I said, you try to push the right button with your bullpen, especially in today's game where bullpens are responsible for what? 9-12 outs a night. You have someone falter, and there's nothing that can demoralize a team like a faulty bullpen. And right now, he's trying to hide Alexander Colome. It looks like he's trying to move Jorge Alcala into more meaningful situations. Their left-handed hitters are destroying them. It's just the numbers are frightening. With teams that have good left-handed hitters, they're just crushing starters and relievers, so it's hard to match up late in games. Caleb Thielbar is a lefty, but he's way more effective against righties. The last time I checked, lefties were hitting 400 off of him. Mm-hmm. They've just got a lot of things going on with that bullpen, and it's just crushing this team.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on maybe going away from modern analytics and towards some traditional thinking. Maybe that might help this team a little bit. I'll be really interested to hear what you think about that. This is Chin Music, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. This is our baseball show. Of course, we also have Cheryl Reeve, Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta, Jeff Diamond, John Krasinski, Roy Smalley, outdoor content, Bar Down Beauties. We have just tons of great stuff. It's great to have Lavelle now on the network with us. I also am doing Blocked and Muted with Jim Suhan. That's my new show, half opinion, half interview. This week we talked to Lindsey Whalen. Last week it was Mike Vec. That show's a lot of fun. We also get to hear Brandon talk, which is a cool thing. For this show, we want to thank Minnesota Propane Association, Better Edge, and Aquarius Home Services. So, Lavelle, here's my thing. Mm-hmm. It was really hard to criticize anything this team did the last couple of years. First of all, they won a lot of games. They won more games than anybody in the American League. Second of all, we know that they do their research. We know they do their homework. They have great analytical reasons for doing all the things they do. But here's what I would say. Sometimes traditional thinking in baseball works really well. And I wonder if this team should be saying, maybe we need to stretch our starters out a little bit longer so we're not so reliant on the bullpen. Maybe we need to use fewer relievers. If somebody's pitching well, ride them another inning. Right now it feels like they're trying to get the starting pitcher out before he faces the lineup third time. And then they're using four or five relievers a day, and one of those relievers is having a bad day and ruining the game. I just wonder if they should go a little more old school and stretch out the starters, use fewer relievers, and ride a hot reliever when they're pitching well.
Yeah, the one scenario you just mentioned with the relievers, I like to call reliever roulette. When that door starts swinging open to the bullpen, one guy could come up, two guys could pitch well, and the third guy gets in the game, he's having a bad day, and your whole night's cooked. I think everything has to be on the table, Jim, as far as trying to get this thing sorted out. I noticed that I think Michael Pineda threw 95 or 97 pitches against the White Sox. So Rocco's letting him go a little bit deeper. He still doesn't want to cross that threshold. I don't know if Brios has thrown 90 in a game yet this year.
Right.
But we're 2 months in, and it's about that time. But, Jim, here's the thing. They talked about this going into the season, how they're going to be careful with arms in a year after an abbreviated season, a stopped and a restart season. They were concerned about arms, and they talked about going to a six-man rotation at times and watching pitchers' arms. But the fallout from that is that the bullpen has to do its job, and they've been called upon time and time again, and they have failed. In order to get back into the season, Rocco's going to have to maybe tear up his plans and let Brios pitch deep in games. I know if he starts to falter, give him a chance to pitch out of a jam. You know, the one thing I hate about modern managing is that it's so safe to take a gallop after two times through the order and start with your bullpen. But, you know, back in the day, pitchers were allowed to problem solve. And I think that in order to keep the bullpen out of its own way, you may have to allow Brios to try to pitch with two on in the sixth inning instead of automatically bring in Hanzo Robles, who doesn't throw enough strikes for me. So right. I agree with you in that aspect that they're going to have to look at some different ways to approach the situation until the ship can get righted here. And I still think part of that equation is that you got to let a couple of these guys go deeper in the games. And Jim, here's the funny part about that. I think the Twins are in the top third in the league in starter innings, right. But it doesn't seem that way.
Yeah. And you know, part of it is that starting pitching really hasn't been their main problem. So most of these people have pitched well enough to get into whatever the sixth inning before they start. And a lot of teams have really just kind of mandated, nope, we're getting them out early. I just think the other thing is that I don't think every pitcher has to be treated the same. As you talked about Brios is in incredible shape. He is a worker. And he is, you know, a quasi ace. I just think he's the kind of guy. Let's find out if he can pitch a third time through the lineup. Let's find out if he can throw 110 pitches and still be effective.
No doubt. And I think he wants those opportunities.
Yeah.
This goes back last year to the playoff series against the Houston Astros when Brios was very effective. And I think he got pulled after five. Yeah. And he looked very disappointed in the dugout after Rocco told him he was done. And maybe it's going to take Brios maybe screaming at Rocco in Spanish about how he wants to stay in the game and then try to convince the manager to give him a shot here. But definitely a veteran like Jay Happ, who has been effective, you know, in a majority of his starts, you know, let him go deeper if it's possible as well, because the plan right now, it ain't working. And you can't just keep banging your head the same way. When it comes to handling the bullpen, you've got to figure out a way to change things up. And part of the equation is maybe leaning on your stars a little bit so the bullpen can either get rested or just have their minds cleared or whatever.
Later in the show, I will ask Lavelle the big question, is the season over? I'll be interested to hear what he has to say about that. I'm much more pessimistic now than I was even 2 weeks ago. We're also going to talk about some hitters, some struggling hitters, some hurt hitters. At the moment, do want to thank Minnesota Propane Association. Great time of the year to have them advertising because I'm using my grill all the time.
Hi, I'm Laura Shara. And do you really know what it costs to heat water at your home, cabin, or business? No? Well, we do. Based on data from the U.S. Department of Energy, the average annual savings for homes that heat their water with propane rather than electricity is $175. You can save energy and get 2.5 times as much hot water compared to the average electric water heater. Let's save energy and money with a cleaner, greener fuel. Propane. The right energy right now.
And we are seeing an expansion of sports gambling across the nation. And it's, you know, so you want to find a way to bet safely and bet in a fun way. We recommend Better Edge.
Hey, everyone. It's Steven Strom, the host of the Strom Sports Show on TalkNorth.com. I'm here to tell you about Better Edge. Combine your love for competition, social, and sports with Better Edge, the sports betting exchange that actually gives back to its bettors. Better Edge is a brand new locally based betting platform meant to connect users and attempt to add some coin to the bank. Completely legal and 100% fun. Compete against friends, sports insiders, and yourself with Better Edge in a number of different sports and event competitions. Use the code STROM, STROM, for a free $10 when you sign up by visiting betteredge.com. That's BETTOREDGE.com.
I will tell you more about Aquarius Home Services at the end of the show. Let's start here. I know Miguel Sano is slump prone. I know he goes through bad stretches, and then every time the fan base gets sick of him, he'll start hitting home runs. Is this a different kind of slump? He looks completely helpless right now.
He's still getting beat on mediocre or slightly above average fastballs.
Yep.
It looks like he has trouble recognizing pitches. As Roy has pointed out on this show before, it looks like he's trying to just yank everything to left field. Mm-hmm. It's leading to bad habits. I was hoping that while he was on the disabled list for, I think it was a hamstring, that he would kind of find something in the batting cage that would work. But no, he's gone back to the same bad habits he had at the start of the season. And it looks absolutely awful. And I don't know how you're going to fix it other than just let him swing his way out of it. And by that time, you know, the season could be over. Maybe it's over now. But we know he's going to strike out a lot. I still think he's a decent hitter. There's a decent hitter in there that should be able to bat 250 in Major League Baseball. But this guy, I don't think he's even batting 150 right now. So that there's a fundamental flaw that's going on there. I don't know what Edgar Varela, the hitting coach, is trying to work with him on. I don't know if there's a breakdown in communication between those two guys. Is Miguel just going it alone and trying to make his own adjustments? But it's ugly to watch. It's like watching a car wreck at the plate four times a night.
It's bad. And I've always been someone who said you have to ride out some of those slumps. You have to give them time. You have to let young talent figure things out. And we've seen – hey, we saw that with Buxton. He obviously has figured out how to hit major league pitching, but Sano looks worse than he used to look, and that's a little disturbing, which leads to my next question. I don't like to do the knee-jerk fire all the coaches when a baseball team struggles, especially hitting coaches. They get too much blame because most major league hitters, we know this from Torrey Hunter, most major league hitters have their own hitting gurus. They have their own routines in the offseason. The major league hitting coach is really there just to help them get their work in. But I do wonder, if this team misses James Rowson, I think he was the rare major league hitting coach who really did elevate everyone.
Well, here's the thing too. I also think when you're a major league coach, you're part psychologist as well. Mm-hmm. You're trying to help because the mind can get in the way of hitting. I've talked to a lot of hitters about that. I've talked to Tony Gwynn, you know, was working out with Jock Jones during the offseason like years and years ago. And I asked Tony, I said, Tony, how much does the mind get in the way of hitting? He goes, oh, heck of a lot. And so we went through this long talk.
That was pretty good Tony Gwynn impersonation.
Thank you very much. I do think that that's one area in which a hitting coach or a coach in general can be effective with players. It's just making sure they're in the right frame of mind when they're in the box and that they're confident that they can do some damage. I think Wes Johnson's had to do that with Alexander Colome on the pitching side. And I think Varela needs to reach out to Sano and some of these other guys on the hitting side. Because here's the thing, Jim. The Twins' offense wasn't that great last year. They still won a division and won 60% of their games. But basically because of pretty solid pitching, because Maeda was like second in the Cy Young voting, Brills had a solid year, and the bullpen was reliable. They didn't hit well at all. Last year, Buxton had his issues. Kepler had a down year. Garver had an awful year. Polanco had an awful year. I'm missing one guy. There's like five guys in that group. I'm missing one other person in that group. Oh, Sano. I mean, they all struggled last year. And I wrote at the end of the year, you need at least two or three of these guys to turn it around. So far, only Buxton's been the guy who's turned it around, and he's on the disabled list now. Offensively, they may be worse than they were a year ago.
Yeah, it's scary.
So that when it's that long, Jim, do you start wondering if you need a different voice talking to these guys?
Yeah.
You
know?
Because you're going on a calendar year.
Yeah, it's been a while, and you know they had the spectacular success hitting home runs in 2019, 2020. Mm-hmm. Short season, you don't want to overreact, but now maybe it's time to react. You know, and the other thing is that I think we all sometimes make the mistake of assuming that young hitters or young athletes are just automatically going to get better. And, you know, maybe Max Kepler is a 780 OPS guy instead of somebody who's on his way to 900. You know, maybe Polanco isn't really going to have full healthy seasons where he's really on it. You know, I mean, maybe we've already seen the ceilings on some of these guys.
That's very possible. You see a guy like Polanco, make the All-Star team, you're thinking you were set at short for several years and you're going to get good offense from both sides of the plate and at least a decent glove. You see Kepler a few years ago, I think he had a higher WAR than Bryce Harper. And you're like, this guy, you know, once he figures it out, he's going to be a 30-homer, 100-RBI guy in right field for years to come. And you see, I think Snow hit 34 homers a couple years ago. And you're like, okay, now he's in a good spot.
Yep.
You know, but now all of them are taking steps back, and they're scrambling right now. Garver's got like 6 homers now. I think his batting average is still low, but it seems like there's some signs of life coming out of his bat. But, yeah, you wonder if this is what they're going to be, because they're not young anymore. We're talking about these guys are all like in the late 20s now, I believe, headed toward 30. So if this is what they are going to be, then now the Twins are faced with some serious decisions about how the core of this team is going to be shaped for the next few years.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, we're talking here on Friday afternoon. I know the Twins haven't had their availability or anything yet. Do you have any feel on when Kirilloff might be back? Or what's up with him?
No, I am not. Here's the thing, because I've been in contact with people close to Kirilloff. And when he initially went down, they thought it was going to be a serious wrist injury. But he went and had 2 more opinions on it, including a guy he's familiar with, because I think part of the damage that was in the MRI was also related to a previous injury and not the current one he's dealing with. So because of that, there's a belief that it's not going to be as bad as they initially thought. So it could be sooner than later for Kirilloff. So that would be a good thing. There'll be an update at the ballpark today, I would imagine. And I'll keep checking with my sources here going forward. But it sounds like they have dodged a bullet here as long as he doesn't have a setback. Still no clarity on, I'm sorry, change the subject, but the Buxton thing happened to me because Rocco said that he's going to be done for weeks. And I see that Buxton's already doing some sort of light swinging or something. So I don't know exactly. Do you mean by like 2 weeks? Do you mean by 3? Right. I wouldn't mess with a hip injury because that could just shelve you forever if you re-aggravate it. And Buxton had a grade 2 sprain or strain. Grade 3 is what Luis Robert, the White Sox, had. And he ended up having surgery. He's out till like August or September. Mm. So it makes you a little nervous that Buxton was headed on that scale. When he injured himself, I'm still trying to figure out if he injured himself just by running or if when he landed after trying to jump for the ball at the wall about innings earlier. Because when he ran to first base earlier in the game, but Mike Rand and I were in the press box and we saw him pull up. And then in extra innings, he hit a similar ball to the left side of the field and said, "I gotta go get this base." And then he had to catch himself after like 5 steps. So that's kind of a scary injury. So they have to tread carefully with this guy as far as his recovery.
Yes. And he's already been cleared to throw and swing the bat, but that's different than him being Byron Buxton and running full speed and maybe running to a wall. That's what they have to guard.
Absolutely.
So let's ask the big question here. Do you think the season, the competitive portion of the season, the chance of contention is over for this team?
I have my doubts. I sounded the alarm a couple weeks ago in the Star Tribune when I said I'm walking back in my prediction for 93 wins because they're going to play at over a 600 clip now. I think they get to like 92 wins or 93 wins. I don't know if that's possible. A team can get hot, though. We've seen it in baseball. The Cleveland Indians would have a ridiculous second half run in them every year. The A's were a notoriously crazy second half team. If the Twins, for them to get back, though, they're going to have a stretch here where they win like 12 out of 16 or 25 out of 31. You know, they're going to have to get really hot really quick for me to think that they can get back to being the team that they were in 2019. So I have serious doubts over them being able to pull that off. Mostly because I don't know if the bullpen's going to get straightened out this year. And Kenta Maeda's getting hit harder, and that puts more pressure on the starting rotation to kind of hold things together. So I got problems with arms as much as I have with bats on this squad.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say is the math doesn't bother me. You know, you talk about them needing to win more than 6% of their games. Well, they've won more than 6% of their games for 2 straight seasons. So it's not like that's impossible. They've been doing it with these players. I just don't like what I'm seeing. I don't really trust the bullpen. And even though the starting pitching in general has been relatively a strength, I'm just not sure if Maeda's not going to have a great year, if they're not going to let these guys pitch deep, if you're really relying on Happ and Shoemaker, I don't know. It just doesn't. It's more for me. It's more of a feeling than a fact. Just watching this team, I have not felt like there's a lot of reason for confidence the last couple of weeks. And you know what? Sometimes teams just have bad years. And I thought they started turning it around a couple of weekends ago. They started scoring a bunch of runs. Kirilloff gets really hot. Buxton's tearing it up. And then in 3 days, the bullpen blows up. They lose, Buxton, Arraez, and Kirilloff, two of the three to potential major injuries. And I just kind of was like throwing my hands up. Well, you just can't have continued bad luck, even if you are a good team.
The 2006 team, the one that started out really bad, yep, and then got really hot after June 6th, I believe. No, June 8th. They played like 630 ball or something like that.
Yep.
From that point on. I just did some quick math here. The Twins are 12-23. To finish 90-72, they'd have to go 78-49, which is a 614 winning percentage, which actually doesn't sound as bad as I thought it could be. But aesthetically, it's so ugly. You just don't know if they could put together complete games and climb their way out of it. Because I talked to Morneau for a column about how they pulled it off in 06. And Morneau's thing is, first of all, you got to think about winning series and just getting back to 500. And then once you get to 500, then you got to see where you're at in the standings to see if you can make a run. But he says, for now, just focus on winning 2 out of 3 and just slowly climb out of that hole and get to 500. But every time the Twins try to reach for a branch to pull themselves out of a hole, they sink further here. And that's why I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening with this team this year.
And let's go back to traditional thinking here, too. The Twins have survived for a couple of years. You know, in 2019, they did not have a very good bullpen first half of the season. It blew up late in July, and then they, made a bunch of moves and straightened it out. And all of a sudden, Duffy and May caught fire. Rogers was excellent all year, and they found a way to salvage it. Last year, the bullpen was good enough in a short season. I just think that you can get into analytics that tell you that the closer role isn't that important, but then you watch seasons and closer role is important. It just is. If you don't have certainty at the closer position, it ends up biting you in a bunch of ways, including emotionally.
The Twins kind of created that mess themselves because they've got all those guys thinking that they can pitch in any sort of role in any day. So be prepared to pitch in as early as a sixth inning, and maybe it's your day to pitch in the ninth. So they've got them all calibrated, thinking that anything can happen once you get to the bullpen and get to the ballpark, which I think is I can understand it if it's the playoffs and it's all hands on deck, but to sustain that for a 6-month season just seems to be a little bit risky to me, especially if you don't have guys who are proven. Taylor Rogers is proven. Colomé used to be a great closer. He had I don't know what to think about Colomé. He had a 108 ERA last year. I can't even get that. Lefties had like a 25 ERA off. His ERA is like 25 against lefties. He's getting clobbered. Robles, I see him throw 97. I'm like, okay, that can help a bullpen. But then he doesn't throw enough strikes for me. I mean, he really doesn't give up a lot of hits. But he walks guys, and he shouldn't be walking guys late in game. So I don't know, and there's really not a relief candidate at AAA that they could call and rely on right now. I think they need a couple guys to get healthy. Even from a starting standard, I think both Yoan Duran and Jordan Bialas-Ovechkin are recovering from minor injuries, and they're not online. So in terms of finding like pitching help, especially maybe guys who are nasty in the minors, it's not there. This group is going to have to figure it out, and they haven't for almost 2 months, right? 2 months, Jim, and the old adage is that you take 2 months to see what you got. You spend 2 months making adjustments, and then hopefully you can make a run for, postseason, the final 2 months of the season. Well, we're getting close to that stage where it's time to make some adjustments with personnel. I'm curious to see what moves the front office has in store. Are they going to make trades to add to this team and try to find some talent? And what do they have for assets? Or if they keep losing, will they go the other way? The next couple of weeks could be very, very interesting.
Right. And next week we'll have Roy back on and we will discuss exactly where this team is and what they need to do next. For today, let's get a final thought from Lavelle. Once again, thanks to everyone who listens. You can follow us on Twitter at Talk North Pod to see all of the shows as they are released. Best way to listen, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. You can always go to talknorth.com. Thanks again to our producer, Brandon Morton. All right, Lavelle, wrap this up with a final thought on anything you like. And it can even be bourbon or movies, whatever.
What I like, well, I'm bummed. I'm kind of bummed out because of the injuries now with the Twins, but across baseball, DeGrom being shut down.
I know.
Dodgers pitchers going down. You know, we thought the Dodgers had a surplus of starters going into the season. Now all their cushions been eaten up because of injuries. I hate to see, even though, I mean, they're Twins rivals, but I want to see teams at full strength with their best players. And, you know, Luis Robert being injured and Eloy Jimenez being out, you know, they're two of their starting outfielders. You know, you're not seeing the teams at their best, and that's kind of a bummer to me. And I hope guys get back healthy because the game is better off when the best players are on the field doing their thing. When Jacob DeGrom is watching, it's an appointment television whenever he starts, and you don't want to see someone like him get injured. What I do like, let's see, I like my Elijah Craig bourbon I sipped on last night. It was very delicious.
Which version? Which version of Elijah Craig?
Actually, it was just a basic one. I just stopped by. Store. I just grabbed the small batch and went to town. I was very satisfied with it. So it doesn't take much to make me happy. There's bourbons out there. That's a lot. Maybe we can get Costco as a sponsor, but they have a brand called Walcott there. That's $20 a bottle, and it's the greatest bang for the buck on the bourbon scene for me.
You're actually right. It's really good and very low priced. And you know, as far as Elijah Craig, someone recommended me their Barrel Proof once.
That's
right. That might be the best tasting bourbon I've ever had, and it knocks me out. I mean, it's like I can't drink it. It's too strong. I'm too much of a wimp. I'm too much of a wimp to drink the Barrel Proof.
You've never been a big drinker, so that's not surprising.
That's a good point.
I got one for you too. If you want a nice bourbon, Calumet, if you can find it, not too many liquors. Okay. It's absolutely delicious. I would recommend that.
I actually, Roy recommended Writer's Tears Irish Whiskey. I think that might be my salvation. It's smooth. It doesn't kick my butt. It tastes good. And I'm Irish, so it's probably, you know, there's a very low chance of it being bad for me because it's in my blood already.
That's right. There you go. I haven't had it, but you're the third person who's recommended Writer's Tears. So get on it. So
good.
I've tried most of the bourbons too, so I got to get on that.
Yeah, and this one's Irish whiskey, not bourbon, but I'm not sure bourbon's for me. We'll continue the whiskey talk next week, and we might all need a lot of whiskey if the Twins keep playing like this.
No
thanks
kidding.
To Lavelle. Thanks to Brandon Morton. I'm Jim Suhan, and we will be back next week.
Hey, this is Mike Russo from the Worst Seats in the House podcast. Are you looking for great tasting clean water in your home or cabin? How about an AC or furnace tune-up? If so, go to my one-stop shop for water treatments, plumbing, and heating and cooling, Aquarius Home Services. Aquarius can be your experts for just about anything. If your water is too hard or has bad odor or tastes funky, they're the local authorized dealer for the revolutionary non-electric Kinetico water system. And if you need to get your furnace or AC running properly or a whole new heating or cooling system, they do that too. For more information, go to AquariusHomeServices.com or call 651-356-8542. That's AquariusHomeServices.com or 651-356-8542.